Good morning, everyone. God is good. Amen. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? Amen. Jesus is the reason for this season. I tell you, Claudia and Raphael, Elizabeth, thank you for going. And thank you for giving $50,000 to help those single mothers and grandmothers. Amen. So the Lord bless you. I'm so thankful for that. And man, you know, Arsenio and Alex, it's like, you know, they need to be on TV. Amen. What a blessing that was. Yes. So good to see you this morning. The Lord bless you. Welcome to our early Christmas morning service here at Calvary Chapel. And I'm so thankful for all the activities, the wonderful video, and especially for showing us what was going on, really, hands-on, eyes on the spot right there. And listen, on another note this morning, as I welcome you, a longtime member yesterday departed to heaven, Alice Cord. We're going to have a celebration of life service Friday the 27th, a couple days after Christmas, here in the chapel at 10 a.m. I'll be doing the funeral service. And also just a Christmas Eve communion, which is, of course, Tuesday, 4 p.m. I feel that the Lord, after the communion service, would have us pray for those that are sick, okay? You know, I never announce things like that unless I really have been praying and I feel the Lord is moving on my heart. Who knows what a Christmas miracle might happen, amen? We don't schedule miracles, but we believe in them, amen? So that's going to be happening. And with also the mission team is going to be leaving. So this morning, turn in your Bibles before we go to the Lord in prayer to one of the most familiar passages in the entire Bible on the birth of Christ, and that's Luke chapter 2. And I'm not going to read those 20 verses as we have just a little bit of time left this morning, but that's where we'll be, beginning in verse 1, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. But let's go now to the Lord in prayer. Father, we first of all, we start off this service with, Lord, just thanks. We know the true Savior was born, and he lives in our hearts. We know that he's coming again to receive us unto himself. But Lord, this morning we lift up, beginning here this morning, Alice Cord's family, the children. Lord, is just a wonderful family. Comfort their hearts. Give us, Lord, give me the exact words to say to them on that day when we have her funeral. And Lord, we pray also for the people of North Carolina, knowing that there's so many thousands of people they're helping. Bless them all. Help them all. Restore that place, Lord. We pray over the mission team that will be departing right after Christmas, Lord, that you be with them all the way there and back. And it's going to be a wonderful celebration with Steve and Carol there with the children at Camargo. This morning, somehow, as you always do, Lord, help me teach this word that's so familiar to each of us. We ask it, we believe it in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Christmas 2024. Can you believe that it is here? You know, man, what is it, 3 days away, and we celebrate the birth that literally changed this world and is still changing it. Amen. And, you know, we've been on a journey, you know, for the last couple of Sundays. We went back into eternity where it all started. Then we met the silent man at Christmas, Joseph, there last Sunday. And this morning we're going to look now at the fulfillment there of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. So let's begin this morning in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass in those days. Everyone say that. In those days. Look what happened. Well, that an imperial order or a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world, meaning all the Roman Empire, not the entire world, should be registered. Now, this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. Now, this gentleman who's been often debated throughout history that it couldn't be this actual individual. Well, actually, did you know that historical records have now proven that it was this man, and he was the one who was overseeing the the census at the time, actually, of our Lord's birth. So the Bible always proves itself. Amen? And so it says that he was the governor there of Syria. And so all went to be registered now, everyone to his own city. So it says it came to pass in those days. And we have to say, okay, what were those days and what were they? Well, they were the days of Caesar. Boy, what a time that was. You know, Caesar is Caesar Augustus. His real name was Octavian. And the Senate at Rome at that time, they voted to call him Augustus, meaning the exalted one, the supreme one. Matter of fact, Rome called him the only savior in the world. Isn't that interesting? So here was this man, and Caesar Augustus, coming to power. And he was like, I think, if I remember my history, Julius Caesar was his like great uncle or something, okay? And so he came to power when he was only 19 years old. And he ruled until his death at the age of 76, and that would be in about 14 AD. Now listen carefully. Caesar Augustus, the Holy One, he's not holy, okay? But the Caesar Augustus, he was one of the greatest of all the Roman dictators, or Caesars, if you will. And not that he was a good person, but he was a master builder. He was a master road builder. And he brought what was called peace to the Roman Empire. And many, if you read history, they really hail him as a great leader and so forth, and I'm sure he was, but he was also a brutal dictator. And the reason that they had peace when Christ was born, the Roman Empire being at peace, was because he had literally bulgeoned or beat everybody into submission. They were terrified, you know, to do anything wrong. Matter of fact, Kent Hughes is a great scholar of the Bible. He called that time a dark peace. It was similar, he said, to Hitler's reign. Now, but here's what you want to see this morning. God is so cool. Or good, Lord. And he probably pretty cool too, but I don't find that in scripture, but I don't know. But here's the thing I want you to see this morning as we celebrate the birth of our Lord, is that Caesar Augustus, his greatest act, literally his greatest single act on earth, do you know what it really was? It was to call a census for the entire Roman Empire to be registered and so forth. But what he did not know is that because he was doing that, it was going to change his world and our world and the next generation forever and ever, because it would lead to the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? So it's so interesting. So the purpose of this census now was literally taxation. Get everybody back to where they belong, and we're going to tax them, but also register them. It was like a military draft. It's easy for me to say that. And so they had to sign up, if you will, and they knew who they could enlist in his army and so forth. But the Jews now, they were excluded from that, from military. They would not draft them into it. So the census occurred, it caused people from wherever they were born. They all had to return to their ancestral home. Well, guess what happened to Mary and Joseph? Did they have to leave where they were? We all know the story very well. She had to get to Bethlehem, and we're going to find out when she did. She was 9 months pregnant. She was ready, man. So look at verse 4. So here's what happened. Because of the census now, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary. Now, remember, she too was of the lineage of David, King David, the seed of David. Now, it says, registered with Mary, his betrothed wife. Now, we studied that out the last time we were together, remember? It was like our engagement, but much more serious. It lasted about a year, could only be dissolved by divorce or death, okay? And so it says she was his betrothed wife who was with child. The King James Version says who was expecting. The NIV says she was great with child. Now, with all that being said, we know the child, we already know it's of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. Now, Bethlehem, what a great place. Now, if you go back and study it all out, you find out, remember, that Boaz married Ruth, remember, in the Old Covenant, and that was there in that city in Bethlehem. And from him came Obed, and from Obed came Jesse, and from Jesse came David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart. So Bethlehem, as we all know, means house of bread, and born there was the bread of life. Amen? Now, some scholars say, and I'm not a scholar, all right, but some scholars say that Mary was 13 years old and that Joseph was only 14, but we're not really told. But what we do know that Mary was 9 months pregnant, and now she's on an 85-mile trip, if you will, to Bethlehem. And of course, you know that the angels were singing Silent Night in the background as that happened, right? No. So in those days, what I really want you to see this morning is how God's sovereignty rules. History is not man's story. History is his story. Amen? Oh, listen, nothing happens by chance, okay? As a matter of fact, R.C. Sproul, he said this. He said, God doesn't roll dice. Aren't you glad that God's not a gambler? Amen? No, nothing happens by chance, not ever. Not one sparrow, the Bible says in Matthew's gospel, not one sparrow falls to the ground without his knowledge or without his will. Now listen, Caesar thought he considered himself a god. He considered himself divine. He thought that he literally, like many today, ruled the entire world. And that there was no one any more powerful than Caesar. But you know what? God is the one who used Caesar. Amen? He used Caesar, and Caesar didn't know these verses. See, he didn't study the Bible. Let me give you the verses he didn't know. Proverbs 8:15, by me, God says, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord like the rivers of water, and he turns it wherever he wishes. Daniel 2:21, God removes kings and he raises up kings. So what did that just tell us? It told us that Caesar ruled nothing. Amen? He just thought that he ruled. So what did God do? God used the one who thought he was holy and exalted and the savior of Rome, he used him to bring the King of Kings and the Savior of the world to the exact place that God said he would be born. Amen? Think about that, the Word of God. When you think about his birth, our Lord's birth, loved one, listen, the Bible tells us that the Messiah, all the way back in Genesis 3:15, that he would be born a man. Amen? He would be born a man. The Bible tells us Genesis 12:3 that he would be born a Jew. And then it says, I think it's Genesis 49:10, maybe I'm wrong, that he would be from the tribe of Judah, and that also he would be from the seed line, if you will, of King David. Amen? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, I believe. Now, and also the Bible tells us something else. It tells us that he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. Now, but during this census, the things that Caesar was doing, it's going to bring Joseph and Mary to the exact place that was prophesied 700 years before the birth of Christ to the exact city that he, or wasn't even a city, the little tiny village that he was going to be born in from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Let me read it to you. Written again, 700 years before the birth of our Lord. It says, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, meaning out of all the cities, even upon the earth, oh, you're so tiny, yet out of you shall come forth to me. And then, of course, where I'm reading from there, me is capitalized, so it means God will come forth to me to do my will, God says, and fulfill our plan that was in eternity, which we've already learned about. Amen? Okay, so he will come to me, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting to everlasting. So the pre-existent Son of the living God who came from heaven, who became the God-man. Amen? He is from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, when we think about that, the Bible tells us very clearly, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? Oh, and he was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the Word. He is the Logos, if you will, of God. He is the living Word. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to see about his birth, though. People, they get kind of upset. They don't get upset, but they, you know, Jesus is born December 25th. No, come on, guys. We know better than that. Amen? But that can shatter you. You might have to go into counseling now. I don't know. But can I tell you something? Now, this, don't take this the wrong way. But the day, the month, when Jesus was born, that's not important. Did you know that? But let me tell you what's important. Where he was born. Because if he wasn't born there, then God's word is not true. Are you following me? Now, I want you to really think about something. When Micah, the prophet Micah, when he penned Micah 5:2, he was so honored through the power of the Holy Spirit to name the place that Jesus, our Lord, would be born in. Now listen carefully. During that time, you know what was going on, remember? That Micah was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. And the northern kingdom, Israel, they had already gone into Assyrian captivity in 722 BC. Now that's 586 BC. And what happened to the southern kingdom? Nebuchadnezzar came in, the Babylonian, did they level Jerusalem? They destroyed all of it, and then they took captivity, meaning all the southern kingdom, they took them into captivity for 70 years. And when the 70 years were over, they went back to Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was in shambles. Amen? Okay, but now listen, they were scattered everywhere, all over. And you would think, okay, now, you would think, how in the world, what happened to the line of David? Because the Messiah has to come from David, amen? Okay, now you think all of the Davidic line is scattered everywhere there, and they were in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, but they're not anymore. There's nothing in Bethlehem. And now all of a sudden there's going to be two people. I mean, you're talking about a miracle. Two people from the line of David, Joseph, Mary, and guess where they're going? They're going to Bethlehem. Loved one, listen to me. 700 years passed. They were scattered here, scattered there. It is an unbelievable miracle for this to happen. Do you see that? Unbelievable, this prophetic word of God. And so here they come, it says in verse 6, so it was that while they were there, while they were in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. So there they are, while they were there, the incredible providence of God. Now listen to me, Mary and Joseph didn't have anything to do with the planning of their trip to Bethlehem. Did you know that? Think about it. They were forced into it, weren't they? But see, even the Roman government, Caesar, he thought they were in control. No, they didn't bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. Micah's word that God said, amen? Boy, listen to me. That's so important. The Bible tells us about the word of God, Isaiah 55:11. It says, God says this, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Listen, God said, let there be light, and light was. When God speaks, it is done. There's no argument. Do you understand? The power of God. God was in control then. God is in control now. God will always be in control. And loved one, listen, God's word never fails. If you want a word for 2025, rest in that one. The word of God never fails. You called upon the name of the Lord, Jesus be my Lord, and guess what? God heard it. He says, I'm going to save you, and you are saved, and he is working in you, and he will work in you until the very day of Christ Jesus. Amen? That's right. His word never, never fails. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Look what she did now with baby Jesus, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, you know, those little pieces of cloth, if you will, and then she laid him in a manger. Now, that's a feed trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the word firstborn there, prototokos in the Greek, this word here, though, is implying that there were other children. It is saying that. In other words, that word firstborn tells us that Mary indeed had other children, despite the teaching that we hear that Mary was a perpetual virgin. That's not true, because the Bible, three times in the Word of God, it says otherwise. Let me give you those scriptures. In Matthew 12:46, it says, while Jesus was talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Matthew 13:55, the Jews cried out, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, his brothers James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas, and here his sisters, are they not all with us? How about Acts and on the day of Pentecost, Acts 1:14? And these all continued in one accord in prayer, supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there with Jesus's brothers. Think of that. So the word of God is always true, loved one. So here we have God in the flesh becoming one of us, except for sin, of course. Remember what it said in Philippians, that he made himself of no reputation, the great kenosis passage? He emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. Did you notice there in the Bible, it doesn't say that Jesus had any royal baby clothes? Huh? It said he had those swaddling cloths that they would wrap around the little baby and hold him tight and so forth, protecting him. He didn't have a pretty bassinet. They put him in a feed trough. Amen? That's what we do with our children, isn't it? You know? No, I mean, think about that. And so the pre-existent Christ, God became man. What a blessing. It says in John 1:10, it says that Jesus, it says he was in the world, and the world was made through him. He was a creator. And the world did not know him. Didn't want him. Didn't even recognize him. He came to his own people, the Jewish race, and they did not receive him. Isn't it amazing? There's no room for Jesus. There was no room for him there. You know, the only place on earth at that time where there was room for Jesus was only one place, and it was on a hill called Golgotha, okay? Meaning the place of the skull, where Jesus was crucified. So the only room for Jesus in this world was the cross, where he died for you and he died for me. You know, we're not shocked that the world doesn't have any room for Jesus. But we should be shocked when a Christian doesn't have any room for the Lord, where they live in comfortable Christianity instead of taking up the cross and following our Lord. You know, I encourage all of us, well, me, everybody, we need to encourage ourselves to make room for Jesus in every area of our life in 2025. Amen? You need to make room for him if you're not serving the Lord. Why don't you do that? Make room for that. You're called to serve. Every Christian is called to serve. You know, why not be faithful when the doors of the church are open, when the Word of God is being taught? Be faithful in attendance. Make room for God's Word in 2025. Hebrews 10:25-26, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together is a habit of some. You know, don't do that as we see this day, the day approaching. Now, it says in verse 8, and now there were in the same country shepherds. Did you notice? No name was given, just shepherds. You know what a shepherd does, right? He cares for the sheep, t- protects them, guards them. And so they were in the same country, shepherds, and they were living out in the fields and keeping watch or guarding over the flock by night. So they were protecting the sheep there, the very pastures that King David, who was a shepherd as well, like Moses was a shepherd, and they were watching over the sheep. But what I want you to see about this verse, if there is a play on words, the words there in Greek there, keeping watch, literally is watching watches. Did you notice that in the New Testament, it talks about Bethlehem, but then Micah 5:2 uses another word for Bethlehem. It says Bethlehem Ephratah, remember? So that word means fruitful. So that was, there was two places. Micah 5:2 tells the exact place where Jesus was to be born. Now, the reason I'm saying all that is near Bethlehem, the one that Micah 5:2 was talking about, okay? And names change. As 700 years, can things change? Okay, now listen carefully. There was a tower known right there by Bethlehem where Jesus was born as Miguel Eder, or the watchtower of the flock. Let me give you the scripture. Micah told us, remember the place of Jesus' birth. Now he tells us something else in Micah 4:8. And you, O tower of the flock, in other words, Miguel Eder, or Eder, however it's pronounced, the place where shepherds in the watchtower watched over the flocks by night, guarded them, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you it shall come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now listen, what do you think the shepherds in the field at night, up in the tower, out in the field, what do you think they were watching? They were watching sheep, right? But they were watching the flocks of the sheep, the lambs that were going to be sacrificed at the temple. That's what they watched. Now, Vincent Word Study says this about the scripture I just read. The beautiful significance of this revelation of the infant Christ to shepherds watching the flocks destined for sacrifice needs no comment, right? What a word that is. So all of these nameless shepherds, there they were keeping watch over the flock by night in verse 9, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were greatly afraid. Can you imagine the manifest glory, the Shekinah glory of God right now just manifesting itself? Himself, rather. The divine presence of God, the same glory that appeared to what Abraham, remember, in the Ur of Chaldees, and you won't find it in Genesis, but you'll find it, I think it's Acts chapter 7, verse 52. Or this is the same glory that appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 31. It's the same glory that appeared unto Paul the apostle in Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus Road. And so this glory exploded, and then the angel, you see, let me back up. Did the shepherds know that Jesus, the Savior, was born? No. Okay, they had no idea. They didn't even know what was going on. And then the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news, or good tidings. Did you know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father? Amen? Oh, good tidings. What kind of good tidings? Good tidings of great joy, which will be to how many people? All people. All people. Don't you wish all people believe in Jesus? You know, the Bible says in Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then unto the Gentile. Amen? Oh, it's the power of God. And so here, we say, well, what is this good news? What is this great joy from heaven for all people? Well, we know the answer to that. It's found underneath a Christmas tree. It's found in a beautiful wrapped present. Great joy, good news is not found in things, is it? It's not found in the world's Christmas. It's found in one person. It's found only in Jesus Christ. Listen, without Jesus, there is no good news, and there is no great joy. There's only the world's Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. You follow me? You're just going to have a holly jolly Christmas, all right? No, listen. The Bible tells us, look at this now. Every word is from heaven. Verse 11, for there is born to you this day. in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I want you to catch this. The greatest revelation ever given on planet Earth was given to nameless shepherds watching the flock in the field. Amen? Not to kings, not to rabbis, but literally the Messiah's birth was announced to Jewish outcasts. See, shepherds were considered by rabbis and by even by the society as well, they were unclean. They could even testify in court, loved one. They were looked down upon. As a matter of fact, the only thing lower in Israel than a shepherd was a leper. Do you understand? They were horrible outcasts and so forth. And they were barred from the synagogue. They lived in isolation. But God appeared to them. The glory of God appeared to them. Angels appeared. Amen. Boy, and listen to me. They were about, these shepherds were about to meet the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Those shepherds who took care of the sheep for animal sacrifices, those little lambs, were about to look on the true Lamb of God. They were given that privilege. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, our Lord, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Think of that for a moment. Now listen, can I tell you, we know this, and I don't even need to say it, but the world has stolen the true meaning of Christmas. It really has. Come on. Because it's made Christmas something that it really isn't. The miracle of Christmas now is a miracle of merchandise. You know? I mean, you read the papers. I was reading the paper the other day, and they're going, okay, here's what you need to do to avoid stress when you go shopping for Christmas. You know, I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, that's not what Christmas is about. I mean, there's nothing wrong with giving presents and all those things, but loved one, listen, the world has reversed the true meaning of Christmas. You see, today they say Christmas is all about you. It's all about what you can get. It's all about what's underneath your tree. It's all about what you can give hundreds of things to your children to spoil them. But see, Christmas is not about you. Christmas is about what God has done for you. Amen. And that's what it's about. Listen, Jesus is the greatest gift mankind. Not only did they needed the Lord. They needed a Savior. It says in 1 John 4:9, it says, in this, or this is how the love of God was manifested toward us, or made public, or made visible, meaning the baby in a manger, okay? So it was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, and here's the reason, that we might live through him. Live through the Lord now on this earth, and then live with him for all eternity, amen? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and have it more abundantly. He goes on, and John says, and in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, Jesus suffered and paid our sin debt. Amen. Loved one, man. Remember what the angel told Joseph, Matthew 1:21, and she, Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, our Savior, and he will save his people from their sins. Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from death, from hell, from the devil, from the grave. Amen? Oh, thank God he conquered all that for you and me. Loved one, Jesus' birth that we celebrate, that didn't save us. It was his death that saved us. Amen? That's right. Look at verse 12 now. The angel's going to keep talking with the shepherds. And he says to them, he says, now this will be the sign, a specific sign to you. You will find, that is a prophetic assurance, okay? You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a feed trough, a manger. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How many babies in Bethlehem, wait. You could probably find other babies in Bethlehem, maybe, that were in swaddling cloths. That's what they did. Amen? But how many babies do you think you're going to find that mommy and daddy put in a feed trough? Huh? Only one. Yes, only one. What an incredible sign. And then watch what happened now. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, myriads and myriads, uncountable, okay? You can't count them. An entire army descended. But it's kind of like the first Christmas concert or whatever, all right? And it says, the heavenly host, and they were praising God. That's hallelujah. And saying, glory and excelsis Deo. In other words, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth. Don't you wish that was true? Peace on earth. Tell me right now, where can you find peace on earth? How about the Christmas market in Germany? Huh? No, what is there? The last count, 5 dead, 200 injured, 41 in critical condition. There's no peace there. How about that little Abundant Life Christian School? Is there any peace there? No, that was the 112th mass school shooting this year in our country. Is there peace in Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, Israel, Syria? No. Is there peace in America? No. You know, the Global Peace Index, I did a study on world peace. It says Global Peace Index 2024. There are currently 56 conflicts, the most since World War II in the world. They have become more international, with 92 countries now involved in conflicts outside their borders, the most since the Global Peace Index started. And they went on to say that our world right now, because of these international conflicts with such major countries, he said the world is now at a crossroads. He said, if they do not withdraw, they said we could go into the next world war. That would be a horrible. I pray in Jesus' name that would never happen. Amen. And Jesus, what details, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, he said, let your heart, don't let it be troubled. Don't fall apart. I'm in control. Listen, this offer of peace, good, look at it again. It says, on earth, the angel says, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, literally, what peace is that? That is God's offer of peace, okay? That's God offering peace and so forth. And peace with God can only come through one person, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, boy, declared as if you had never sinned, we have, that's a present reality, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. We're at peace with God. We're not an enemy of God. We're the children of God. So God says, I offer peace with all of mankind, but there's only one way you can do it. It's through my Son. Ephesians 2:14, he himself is our peace. Amen? The Bible says in Isaiah, 48:22, someplace in there, there is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. None at all. In verse 15, and so it was, it says, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven. Boy, heaven's a real place. That would have been amazing to have seen that. You know, it says, look what the shepherds did. The shepherds said, or they began talking one to another, well, he said, let us now, so there's many of them, let us now go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. They didn't go shopping. They didn't run to the mall. They came with haste, and look what they did. And found, that word means after searching, they just didn't find it instantly, they were searching. It says, and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a what? A feed trough, amen. These outcasts of Israel that the rabbis looked down upon, and all people looked down upon, God gave them the privilege of looking at the baby Jesus. Think about that. Oh, what a privilege that was. And it says, and now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it, they marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So these shepherds, they became the first evangelists, amen? They were the first to proclaim the good news about the birth of our Savior. But Mary, now watch this, but Mary, that means there's a contrast now. But Mary, everyone else marveled, but Mary pondered, or she kept. That word kept means she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So now these outcasts, boy, you think they are on fire? Do you think they love the Lord? You better believe that they do. You know, 100 years ago, there was an incredible essay that was written about the life of Christ. And it was entitled, One Solitary Life. Maybe you've read that essay. I just want to read you just a portion of it, if you don't mind. It says, 2,000 years ago, a man was born contrary to the laws of life. He lived in poverty, was reared in obscurity. He was a child of a peasant woman and worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home, never wrote a book, never held a public office. He never went to college. He never set foot in a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never practiced psychiatry, yet he has healed more broken hearts than anyone in history. How great is his influence? All history is divided by his coming into B.C. and A.D. We call this year 2024 A.D., in honor of his birth. He stands alone on the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, feared by devils, as a living personal Christ. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Savior of this world. Amen. Amen. He is. Now listen, this was the Lord's first coming. At his second coming, boy, listen, when the government is upon his shoulder, the second coming, when he sets up the kingdom, we're already in heaven with him, amen? We come back with him. Boy, listen, I'm telling you, you're talking about peace. When the Prince of Peace, that's who he is, when he comes back, he's going to usher in a peace that has never been known ever on this planet. Think about that. I mean, it's going to be incredible. But, you know, Jesus, our Lord, the God-man, you know, he's not in the manger. You know, he's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Unto him has been given all authority and power in heaven and upon this earth. He is in control right this minute. And until he comes for us, you know what we need to be doing now and in 2025? We need to be working for him. We need to be waiting for him. And we need to be watching for him, because Jesus may come for us today before you open any of those presents, before you get drive that new Corvette that you're going to get. Jesus told us in Matthew 24:36 and Matthew 24:44, he said this, but of that day and hour, no one knows, meaning the rapture. He says, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you don't expect. You say, well, he's coming at 3:00. No, it's going to be an hour you don't expect. Amen. You know what Christmas means? Christmas means that God loved us so much, we couldn't go to him, so he came to us. Christmas means there's a way back to God. That's why Jesus became man. Maybe you're here this morning, and you don't really know the Lord. You've never really asked Jesus to be your Savior, your Lord. You've never said, Jesus, I believe in you. Come and manage my life. Take it over, man. You know, the world doesn't have room for Jesus. And there's a lot of people in this world, their hearts, they don't have any room for Jesus either. But Jesus has made room for anyone who will call upon his name. Amen. See, there's only one way to get there. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father. No one can make it to heaven except by me. Maybe that's you. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. You say, Bill, I don't really know the Lord. Well, you don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to do anything but one thing. If Jesus Christ, if you've never asked the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to save you, you can do that right now. This is between you and God. All you have to do is just lift your hand in the air and put it right back down and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. Anyone at all, I've got to ask, man, I want to know. Last call, I'll not ask again now in this early service, but if that's you, lift your hand high and please put it right back down and I'll pray right now. Well, Father, I do not see one hand. That means we're all saved this morning. Maybe you're listening live or on the radio. Praise the Lord. You know what? Call upon the name of the Lord and he will save you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning, listen, as we close out, I know that many, I don't know how many, but you know, people will be traveling on Christmas Eve, or maybe they're going to leave right now to go to another place and fly out or a drive or whatnot. You be safe in Jesus' name and come back safely. And that means also that I might not see you on Christmas Eve, okay, for the communion service at 4 p.m. And so this year, I just want you to know something as we close out. It's been my privilege and my wife's privilege and to serve and love you, and I'm thankful for all the servants and everyone at this church. It's been a joy. So, with I close out this morning, from my home to your home, may the presence of Christ be real in Jesus' name for your Christmas. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? We're going to sing to the Lord, or I could play the violin, but we better sing, right?